May I speak now in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we reach the end of these Gospel readings from John 6 about the miracle, a feeding miracle, Jesus transforming the bread to feed the multitude. But it's more than that. It's much more than that. I always set people a little task to go and find in Mark's Gospel the accounts of Jesus' birth, and to find in John's Gospel the account on Maundy Thursday of Jesus initiating Holy Communion. They're not there. They're not there at all. We can explain later about Mark. But in John's Gospel on Maundy Thursday, Jesus washes his disciples' feet and he gives them the discourses, the teaching. So here in John 6, we have Jesus' account of himself, the bread of life. Not initiating communion in a way that he will do on Maundy Thursday. If you like, going to the very essence of it. He is the bread of life. He is the living bread that sustains. And we take that sometimes for granted, don't we? Years of church going, years of receiving communion. In my case, often two, maybe three times a day on a Sunday. Week in, week out. We don't take it. Sometimes we might take it for granted, mightn't we? But here is something that brings us pause. People saying to Jesus, this is hard teaching, this is hard teaching. Why is it hard? It's not fully explained. But we can begin to reflect and to explore the reasons why that might be hard teaching for people, and perhaps still today. The talk of Jesus' body and blood, of eating Jesus' body and blood, isn't comfortable. We've become habituated to it, familiar with it. But it wasn't comfortable at the beginning. People accused the early Christians of cannibalism. But there it is. That very visceral image of taking Jesus' body and taking it to oneself in the form of the bread and the wine, as we do now, as we will shortly do. It's powerful, isn't it? Food sustains us. It goes to the very core of us. And it transforms us. If we're hungry, tired, and thirsty, we need food and drink. We might not always know that. We might rebel against it. And we often say to someone who's in distress, are you eating properly? We like a cup of tea. We say those things. They're platitudes, but there's a truth, isn't there? Food, physical food, transforms us. And so it is with the body and blood of Christ. It's something that we take to ourselves, to the deepest spiritual part of ourselves, to the bit of us that is perhaps only knowable by God himself. And I think that's one of the reasons that it can be uncomfortable for people, and perhaps for those early hearers of Jesus. I think it was T.S. Eliot who said, human beings cannot stand too much reality. And I would say as well, human beings cannot stand sometimes too much God. When we take the body and blood of Christ, we are taking everything that God wants to give us. It's not God light. It's not God zero, God reduced, but all of God. The best of God, his Son, Jesus Christ, given for us on the cross. dying and living, rising again, exalted to heaven. That's what we take up. And that can be discomforting, can't it? It can be troubling. It kind of rocks our world a little, or can do. Over the years, people come to me and said, Vicar, Father, Colin, you must be a very religious person. And I kind of say sometimes, if I know them, well, I'm trying not to be. I'm trying not to be religious. Because as I understand it, religion is about us trying to do for ourselves what God alone can do for us. And in John 6, there's a lot of exploration of what it is to be religious, what it is to stand in the religious tradition, in that case, Judaism. The talk about being fed, the talk about being God's people, being in the Mosaic tradition. And Jesus says, no. The deepest fulfillment of your urge to be religious is not in a tradition, not in your practice, not in how you think of yourselves, but in the way that you respond to the call of God in me. No one can come to the Father unless he draws me, unless he draws them. Again and again, it's true with Jesus. It's not about who you think you are, but it's about who you truly are in Christ. Jesus often discomforts the comfortable, afflicts the afflicted, comfortable in order to comfort the afflicted. We're getting some sense, aren't we, of why this may be hard teaching, why it may be difficult. And it can be difficult for us as we ponder and reflect on those things. That we come to Christ not in our own strength. We come to gather around the table to be fed the bread and the wine as God's people, not because of our merit, but because we are drawn by his grace, by his love. And we are drawn to eternal life. A mysterious concept, isn't it? We've talked about it before. Eternal life isn't an endless stream of tax returns or putting the bins out on Tuesday morning or whatever day of the week. It isn't like that. It's a quality. It's a quality. It's elusive, as is the kingdom of God. We have to kind of respond to it. We have to, by God's grace, seek it. We have to desire it. And we have to live it. It's something that we must live. Not always comfortable, not always easy. To live in the light of eternity is to live with our own human finitude, our own human weaknesses, our own human doubts, our own human self-sufficiencies. To live in the light of eternity is to live in trust and faith, to live the eternal life that is God's free gift in Christ. And it's interesting that followers of Jesus turn away. We think of the 12, don't we? We think of those who are closest to him, but we can have an understanding of a larger number. Scripture, the Gospels tell us that, a larger number of followers, perhaps following Jesus when they could, when their commitments to work or family allowed. Some of them are turning back. But we have Simon Peter saying, where can we go? Where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Messiah. Where can we go? And often I think we feel like that in our Christian lives. We may not fully understand, we may not fully grasp. We may be inadequate, we may be falling back into our old ways of religiosity, our old ways of self-sufficiency, the old ways of doing life that is not eternal. But we look up from that, don't we, and say, what else is there for us in this world and in the world to come but God? And that's not just a pessimistic recognition of our limitations, but I think it's also about the reality of God in our lives. We are weak and human and frail and often broken. But God is great, and God is good, and God is gracious. And he calls us through everything that we go through, and in everything, he calls us to himself. And we are called today to be his people and to gather together. Not always for the understanding, in so far as we can ever understand completely the ways of God. We can only see by the light that he gives us. But that light is a glorious light, a hopeful light, an eternal light. And that light shines on us as we gather together around God's table.